Today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Kuf Mem Vav. We have 14 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Mem Hei Amid Beis Tanu Rabbanan. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Achinu Bnei Yisrael Hanasunu Matzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schus Refuah Shleima for Rivka Bas Rachel. So the topic of yesterday's daf, Daf Kuf Mem Hei, was the idea of Shushbinus and several halachos related to it. Today's daf is going to begin with a braisa that's going to mention a few final halachos related to that topic. So just a chazer, what exactly was Shushbinus? So once upon a time, when somebody got married, the chassan's closest friends would come together and they would be mishtatef in the simcha in a very, very, very meaningful way. Number one, they would spend the chasana and the sheva brachas together with the chasan. Number two, and in some cases, maybe even more importantly, they would send gifts, the purpose of which was to help pay and to help cover the expenses of making a chasana. The friends that would come to be mishtatef were known as the shushbinim. The gifts that they brought were known as the shushbinus. The minig was that if somebody acted as a shushbin, brought gifts to his friend's wedding, it was understood that that friend would reciprocate if and when necessary. So that if Reuven got married and at Reuven's chasana, Shimon came and he was one of his shushbinim, then it was understood that when Shimon got married, Reuven would go and do the same thing. Ad kidei kach, the Chazal said that when Shimon comes lechatchila and he's mesameach and he brings gifts and he writes checks for Reuven's chasana, it's almost as if he loaned Reuven the money. So much so that Reuven now has this IOU, he has this debt hanging over him. Eved loyvel ishmalva, he has a choiv that he's going to have to pay back. Now that choiv is something that comes due if and when Shimon gets married. But at the same time, when Shimon gets married, at that point he's going to have a choiv. So much so, the Chazal brought a braisa, chamisha dvarim nemro bishushbinus, with regards to understanding the nature of this choiv. Is it subject to the laws of ribbis? Is it subject to the laws of shmita, which is mishametes choivos? Either way, this is a minig that once upon a time was very, very prevalent. Sadly, somewhere b'meshach hadoiros, we lost this minig. But regardless, today's daf is going to conclude with one interesting braisa that discusses some of the nuance of this idea. Zok de gemara, tanu rabbanan, also imoy bepumbi. So let's say Reuven got married and he made a very, very big chasana. Shimon came, and Shimon acted as one of his shushbinim. Okay, now Shimon's getting married. So Reuven has a chiyuv to reciprocate. Aber ubike shlasis imay betzino. This wedding that Shimon is making is not going to be on the same scale as the wedding that Reuven made. So Reuven made a chasana bepumbi, kol dichvin yesei v'yechol, whereas Shimon, he's making his chasana betzneos. It's interesting, if you look at the Rashbam, he gives several reasons why maybe Shimon is making the wedding betzneos. It's a kasha, aber seda, several terutzim. But the bottom line is, this is the way it was. So Yochaloy Maloy, Bepumbi Ese Imchol, Kederach Shasi Soim. If Reuven wants, he can tell Shimon, listen, I understand that I owe you one because you were one of my shushbinim. I have this chayv and I have to pay it up right now because now you're getting married. But at the same time, it has to be apples to apples. You have to compare chasinus to chasinus. So if you make a wedding like I made, you make a wedding Bepumbi, so I'll repay in kind. But you're not making the same type of wedding. And as a result, I don't want to repay you, meaning get married again, make a chasana the way I made it, and then I'll pay you back. And the price says, Yochaloy Maloy, it's a valid taina. If he wants to do that, he could do that. And the reason is because Reuven can tell Shimon, when you partook in my wedding, you were partaking in a very grand simcha. Now I'm going to partake in your wedding. It's not going to be on the same level. It's a chasana that's betzina. My wedding was bepumbi. And being that it's not the same thing, so you're not giving me the opportunity to really reciprocate. The point is that the chiyuv is a reciprocation. We're using that word a lot, but that's really what it is. So to the extent that it's the same type of wedding and a chinami, but being that it's not, so therefore he has a kayach hataina and he can say, my loan to you is not yet due. Similarly, says the Braisa, also Imay B'Psula. What would be if Reuven? He was the one that got married first. He married B'Psula. Ubikish Lasas Imay B'Almon. Shimon came, he was Meshtatif in the wedding. Now Shimon's getting married. And Shimon's marrying not B'Psula, but rather Shimon's marrying an Almona. So the wedding to the Almona is not going to be on the same level of Simcha as the wedding to the B'Psula. So again, Reuven can tell Shimon, B'Psula Esimcha Kederach Shosi. So Imi, if you marry a B'Psula, I'll be Mesamech with you. But you're not marrying a B'Psula. I married a B'Psula. It's not the same thing. It's not Chas. And it's for that reason, it's not something I have to do. Also, in my bishniya, what would be, what would be if Reuven, when he got married, he was marrying a second wife? So this is, of course, pre-Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, and he was marrying a second wife. Shimon came, and he was one of the Shushbinim. He was Meshtatev in this Simcha. And now Shimon's getting married, but Shimon's getting married to his first wife, not to his second wife. So Yochaloi Maloi, if Reuven wants, he can tell Shimon, when you're going to marry your second wife, then I'll come and be Mesamech. But now I'm not coming to be Mesamech. So here too, the two simchas are not the same. Reuven was marrying a second wife, Shimon's marrying a first wife. But here it's in the reverse order. Over here, Reuven's simcha was a lesser simcha than Shimon's simcha. And Reuven can tell Shimon that you were mesamech with me, but it was a lesser level of simcha. It was a second wife. You're expecting me now to reciprocate on a higher level of simcha? That's not something I'm a chayav to do. In other words, just like Reuven can say that I'm not going to be mesameach with you if your simcha is less than my simcha, he could also say that I'm not going to be mesameach with you if your simcha is greater than my simcha. That's actually a little bit more intuitive because I have a chiyuv. What's my chiyuv? To repay what you did. Okay, what you did for me was a lesser simcha. I'm a chiyuv to now repay a bigger simcha. That's already more than what you gave me. So that's not something that I'm necessarily obligated to do. And finally, the last halacha of the Braisa, also imay ba'achas, let's say Reuven got married, and he married one woman. Ubikesh lasas imay b'shnayim. Shimon acted as one of his shushbinim. Now Shimon's getting married, he gets an invitation in the mail, and he's married two people. He's marrying shnayim. Yochaloi malois, Reuven can tell Shimon, ba'achas esa imcha, kiterach shel siso imi. Again, I'm willing to repay, but I got married to one person. You're getting married to two people. It's not the same thing. I mean that it's not the same thing. So therefore, there is no chia for him to reciprocate in this instance. Now, what does it mean he's marrying two people? Just to marry a second wife. Okay, pre-chem de Rabbeinu Gershom. But what does it mean that he's marrying two people? So the truth is, a person's allowed to get married to two people at the same time. It's a halacha, psuka, in Rambam. Not a Shulchan Aruch, because there's a chem de Rabbeinu Gershom. But the Rambam, who brings Hilchas Olam Hashicha and brings halachas that were negeya in the times of the Talmuds, the Rambam says mefurish, if a person wants, he can marry two people at the same time. Now, you have to split the Sheva Brachas. We learned that from Rachel and Leah in Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, Mo'ikot and Davches Amid Beis, Va'advarim Atikim. But at the same time, you could marry two people. The actual wedding could be for two people, certainly on the same day, and it's for that reason, bullshit, that's what happened. What happened was, this person's getting married to two people, and he was invited to be mishtatif. He could say, you mesamech me, when I married one person, lav dafka, I have to reciprocate in this instance. But if you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos adds one knitch. Tosfos says that even Shimon, when he invited Reuven back now to his chasen, he's marrying two people, it was understood that, once again, you helped me pay for one wedding, so I have to help you pay for two weddings? It doesn't even make sense. What he was asking Reuven for was, is that I came to your wedding. I gave $1,000 worth of gifts to help towards the expenses. I'm marrying two Noshim now. It's going to be two individual weddings. Not going to be one wedding. It's going to be two individual weddings, but give me $500 for this wedding and $500 for that wedding. And that too, he's not mechuyev to do. Because at the end of the day, it's not the same thing. The only time there's a chiyev is if it's the same thing. But if it's not the same thing, then you're not going to have any chiyev. Just one interesting ha'ara. If you look at Rabbeinu Gershom, on the side of the Gemara, so Rabbeinu Gershom says like this: Bikesh sheyifraloi keshehu noise shtayim keachas loyhavya kol kach simcha b'shtei tzaros ela yochaloi maloi keshe tasi lebincha oila ochicha psula achas o isha rishayne efelcha shani roitz lesmoich imcha kemoish she simachtani ata. That the reason he has a taina with, am I marrying one person? Am I marrying two people? Says Rabbeinu Gershom, because if somebody marries one person, the simcha is going to be much greater than if he marries two people. Now, why the rest Rabbeinu Gershom doesn't say, but he throws in one line. His line is that when someone marries shtayim ka'achas, lo yihavi kol kach simcha b'shtei tzores. B'shtei tzores, I think, is not just what Rabbeinu Gershom is using to refer to these two frayin, but it's also the time of the krah. It's also the underlying reason. The underlying reason is because they are going to be tzores. I mean that they're going to be tzores, there's not going to be such good shalom bayis. Necessarily, that's going to come from this chasana. The purpose of a wedding is that the couple should be zoichet to build a bayis neman b'Yisrael. But to the extent that there's two tzores, so now already it's going to be a little bit murkier. So it's not the same level of simcha, and it's the same taina. You were misamech with me when it was a grace of simcha. So you're expecting me now to come to your chasana? What kind of ponim is this chasana going to have? There's going to be two kalas, shtei tzores. Already at the wedding, there's going to be this inyan. And as a result, it's not something I'm mechuyev to do. The only reason I'm speaking this out is it's interesting because Rabbeinu Gershom on the side of the Gemara is, of course, Rabbeinu Gershom Ma'ir HaGoylo. And he is the one that was mechadish, the cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom. And the Bnei Shmuel in Evan Ezer, right in the beginning, in Siman Aleph, brings B'Shem D'Agoyis Marchei that the reason that Rabbeinu Gershom made his institution Shaloi Lisa Shnei Noshim was because of the fighting that was going on. It was because they were tzores, and because there was fighting, that's why he made this takana. So it's almost a little insight in one tiny subtle comment in a Rabbeinu Gershom tucked away in Bava Basra Daf Kuf Mem Hei Amud Beis, which maybe gives us a little bit of insight into maybe the most famous takana, the most famous cherim in Shas. Well, it's not in Shas, Pol Shas. And that is the cherim de Rabbeinu Gershom. Either way, the Gemara now is going to do what it does so often in Maseches Bava Basra, and that is digress a little bit with some classic Divrei Agada, Tanu Rabbon. Ater Nichsin, Ater Pumbi. So the Rashbam says an Ater Nichsin, an Ater is a Gvir. Nichsin means he's a Gvir because he has a lot of assets. Ater Pumbi, Ater also means Gvir, right? Pumbi means it's Befarhesia. The point is, the Bryce is talking about someone that's a Gvir, and everybody knows he's a Gvir. So he's not a Bahaltin a Gvir, but he's someone that everyone knows as a Gvir. Says the Bryce is Zehu Balagadis. If you want the equivalent thereof in learning, who's a Talmud Chacham that's like a Bavusta Gvir? It's someone that's a Bal Hagadah, someone that knows Agadata. So it's not the Lamdin per se. It's not necessarily the one that knows how to say the best Pshat in the Birchah Shmuel and the best Pshat in the Rajba, but it's the Bal Darshan. It's the Bal Hagadah. And the reason is because when someone's a good Bal Darshan, so he goes and he speaks and he makes a lot of noise, and as a result, people chap that he has some Chachma. Ater Sloim, Ater Tekaya. What if someone's a Gvir because he's in the Sloim business? The Rashbam says he's a Shulchani, he's a money changer, or he's a Gvir because he's a tekoya. So the Rashbam has two different pshatim in what a tekoya is. The Rashbam's preferable pshat is that tekoya was a region and there was good wine that used to come from there. It's mentioned in Masechtas Menachos with regards to the oils that were brought together with the Karma Mincha. But the point is that the equivalent thereof in learning to someone that's a gvir because he's a money changer, successful money changer, or he deals in oils that come from tekoya, zehu bal pilpul. That would be someone that is a bal pilpul. This is someone that knows how to stay shtiklach toira. He could say shtei dinim. He could write tshuvas. He could say l'shitasois. What's the connection? So the Rashbam says the connection is that a bal pilpul, someone that's a mechadish, he has that koyach, he always has what to say. He's a mayin amaskaber. He's always saying chedushim. And it's just like these chevra that were, number one, always making money. So the shulchani, every day he sits and he's making more money and more money and more money. What about the atar tekoya? So the Rashbam says that the one that's dealing in these oils are always moisif tam, and as a result, he's like the baal pilpul that's always being mechadish. Atar meshach, atar kemois. So the Rashbam says that Meshach means to measure, kemois means to store. So these are people that are gvirim, and the reason they're gvirim is because they have things that get stored away. So what are things that you store? You store wood, you store wheat. So these are like real staples that people need. So what's an example of someone that's a gvir from such things? Zeu bal shmuis. So that's someone that's a bal shmuis. The Rashbam says, sheyedeya halacha is umemris ha'amayron. He's someone that knows all the memris. What's the point? The point is that if you go over to me, ask him a shayla, he knows how to pull out a Gemara. He can pull out halach and shulchan aruch. He can quote a Rambam. He can tell you a magen avram and a taz and a shach and a sma. He's someone that's a bal shmuis. He's like the person that has all these things in storage. People need them. They're always coming to him. And whenever they're coming to him, he says, no problem. Let me go to my warehouse and let me pull out what it is that I need. And finally, hakol tzrichim lemarichitaya. Everyone has to come on to the marichitaya. Everyone needs the master of the wheat. And what is that referring to? That's referring to Gemara. Now, there's a machlokes rishonim how to learn this last line. The way the Rashbam learns the Gemara is that this is a fourth category. This is talking about someone that knows Gemara. Right? Obviously, it's the word. But what does it mean he knows Gemara? Sugyas HaTalmid, V'terutzei Mishnayas U'Braises. He knows how to be metarets all the Mishnayas and all the Braises. And this person is considered the Marech Itaya. He's the one that's considered the master of the wheat. Now, why is the Baal Gemara considered the master of the wheat? So that's not so clear. But the point is, he's the master in the sense that he's mastered his material. He's mastered his Chayra. And that's why we refer to him as Marech Itaya. So according to the Rashbam, this Brais is talking about four different types of Lamdonim, four different types of Tamid HaChamim, and we're comparing them to four different types of Gvir, right? We have the Baal HaGadah, he's someone that makes a lot of noise, everybody knows what he knows. There's the Baal Pilpul, he's someone that's always Mechadish, so him we compare to someone that's always making money, in Kamos he just always makes, just like the Baal Pilpul, he always knows how to be Mechadish. We have the Baal Shmuois, he's the person that just knows halachis, he's like a poisik. You call him, you ask him a shayla, and he gives you a klarer response. He doesn't give you a shtickle taira, he gives you an answer, right? He doesn't write you a tshuva, he tells you it's good or it's not good, it's kosher, it's not kosher, right? That's what the Baal Shmu is going to do, and he's compared to this person that's a gvir that has things in storage. And then finally, you have the person that knows Gemara. So this person, he just knows how to answer basic kash. He's not saying the best tikkuchtaira. He's not a grace about darshan. Doesn't know how to say divrei agada. Maybe he's not a paisik, but he asks him a steer and two rambams. He could be mechavan to the lecha mishnah and the kesef mishnah and the mega mishnah, maga mishnah. That's basically what he does. And this is the these are the four categories. If you look at the Taisis Rid says actually three categories. And the person that knows Gemara is the Baal Shmuis. The same thing. The Baal Shmuis is not just someone that knows how to tell you a memra. If he's going to tell you the memra, but there's a stira from another memra, so what did he really tell you? So the Baal Shmuis is the same person as that knows the Gemara. So it's not three categories, it's four categories. And the way you read the last line is Atir Meshach Atir Kemois Zeu Baal Shmuis, and the Gemara just concludes Hakol Tzrichel Marech Itaya Gemara. Everyone needs the Marech Itaya, that's one that knows the Gemara, he is the one that knows the Baal Shmuis. And Tosfos Rid says, I'll bring you a raya to my pshat, because we know throughout Shas, and really, the most notable places are the last Gemara Masechtas Hayriyas, and it's also the last Amid of Masechtas Brachas, where the Gemara had a Shaila, Sinai v'Oikaharim, which one is Adif? Right, Rabbah the Gemara says was an Oikaharim, Rav Yosef was a Sinai, and Sholchum Mitam, they said Sinai Adif. Why Sinai Adif? The Hakol Tzrichin L'Marech Itaya, because everyone has to come on to the Marech Itaya. So you see from those Gemaras that the Marech Itaya was referred to as who? It was referred to as the Sinai. That's the Baal Shmuis. Right? The Baal Shmuis is the Sinai. He's the one that has all the ideas. So says it says Srid Avali Nira, not like the Rashbam. These are not four categories of Tamid Chachamim, but it's actually three. And Hakol Tzricha L'Marech Itaya Gemara, that's just the Gemara's throwing out a Maimar Muskar after it mentions the three. You want to know who's the most chashuv of the three? It's that last one. And that's this Inyan of Hakol Tzricha L'Marech Itaya. It's interesting. No shaykhis to what we're learning right now, but just one interesting marimakim, and that is the Shach ala Torah. So the Sifsei Koyin ala Torah, this is in Parshas Ekev, he says something interesting. I'll just read one excerpt. Oid, lefisha hachita eina misura biyad shumsar. The chita, wheat, is not masur biyad sar. So we know everything has a sar. Every blade of grass has a sar. Every uma has a sar. Every person is surrounded by malachim kiyadorah. But certainly every type of food has a sar. It has some sort of moishel in the world of Pnimius, in the world of Kabbalah, in the Ilamos, that governs it. But says the Sifsei Kayin that there's one type of food that has no sar, and that is the chita. Ela biyada kadosh baruch hu, and the Shach says, that's pshat in the pasuk, eretz ashaloi b'meskenus toichal bo lechem. It means this inyan, that lechem, that comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sfar Makdoshim say that that's the oimek in the mandama that holds that the Itz Hadas that Adam Rishon ate from was a chita. So it's a big machlokes tanon, machlokes rishonim ala Torah, what exactly the Itz Hadas was. But one mandama says that it was a chita. The oimek is because the chita is more kodesh, so to speak, in the world of Pnimius than all the other foods. And the reason is because it wasn't nimsar liad sar, but rather it's tachas to memshola of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's for that reason it has a higher level of kedusha, and the pgam of the Eis Hadas was somehow in that inyan. But the bottom line is, stims very well with the man damer that holds chit. If you take a look at the Iyun Yaakov on this Gemara, the Iyun Yaakov quotes the Shachal HaTorah, and the Iyun Yaakov says that remez yesh bedover hakol tzrichen lemore chitaya, that everyone has to come on to the master of chitin, meaning there's no intermediaries, there's no in-betweens when it comes to the chitin. Chitin wasn't nimshal yad sar, there's no moishal, it's directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A little bit of a remez yesh bedover hakol tzrichen lemore chitaya. Either way, more divrei agada. Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav. Rav Zeira said in the name of Rav, it's about the pasuk that says, kol yamei oni ron. So this is a pasuk in Mishlei, it's Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Tezvav. So this is 15:15. Kol yamei oni ron. The end of the pasuk is v'toiv lev mishtetam. It's a pashit, another man, kol yamei oni ron. It's all his days are very, very challenging. Aba v'toiv lev, someone that's a bal parnosa, he's a gvir, mishtetam, he's always having a party. Stating that, the Gemara now is going to bring several short different drushim to darshan this pasuk. First, Rav. So Rav Zeira said in the name of Rav, what's the pasuk that says, kol yamei oni ron, zebal Talmud. It's referring to someone that learns Talmud. V'toiv lev mishtetamid zebal mishnah. So, anu ameilim, v'heim ameilim. Even within Torah, you could harav and you could harava. You could harav in Talmud, you could harav in mishnah. So said Rav, that somebody that harav is in Talmud, kol yamei oni ron. If someone harav is in mishnah, that's your Indian, you learn mishnayis, you're a v'toiv lev Mishteh Tamid. So what's the pshat? So the Rashbam says that to learn Gemara, you have to kill yourself. Zehu Baal Talmud. Shememis Atzmoy L'chavin Halochos U'letarik Tzavayis. As opposed to Mishnayis, all you have to do is just learn the Mishnah. Understand it, maybe memorize it. But the point, and chazer it, right? But the point is that you don't have the amelos that you have when it comes to Talmud. So kol yamei oni ron zebal Talmud. V'toiv lev mishteh Tamid zebal Mishnah. Rav Amar Rav said Ipcha. It's just the opposite. That kol yamei oni ron, that's about Mishnah. V'toiv lev mishteh Tamid, that's the Baal Talmud. And the reason is because when you learn Mishnayis, so you have a lot of yediyas, but all your yediyas are really shorthanded because you don't really know what the Gemara says regarding all these different Mishnayas. If you learn Gemara, so now you could be Yoyrid L'Soif Ha'inyan. So it's true, the process of learning Talmud is much more challenging than the process of learning Mishnayas. But said Rava, if you would ask me, I would say Ipcha. I think at the end of the day, why are you looking at the process? Look at what you're trying to achieve, right? The process is always challenging. Oh, but at the end of the day, what are you going to be left with? The person that learns Gemara, he's going to be a Toiv Lev Mishta Talmud. The person that only learns Mishnayim, he has a Halba Maisa, he's the Kol Yamei Ani Ram. V'ahenu Damra Mishar Shniya Mishmei De Rava. Says the Gemara, Rava, who said Ipcha, this supports somebody from Misharshi, who's a Talmud of Rava. He won't say in the name of Rava. I just want to pshat in the pasuk that says Masia Avonim Ye Otze Bohem by Keya Eitzim Yisachim. This is a pasuk in Koheles. So Shlomo HaMelech says Masia Avonim Ye Otze Bohem. If somebody chisels out stone, right, from a very large quarry of stone, it's going to bring him to Atzvus. Somebody that chops trees, he's a wood chopper, he's going to have benefit from it. So you're not going to have benefit from the stone, you're going to have benefit from the wood. It's going to heat you, it can make you some shelter. So, if that's your avodah, but by Keya Eitzim, if that's your avodah, Yisachim Bahem. So said Rav Sharshio, quoting Rava, that Masi Avonim Yeyotzev Bahem, Zeb Elu Bali Mishnah. That's referring to the Balei Mishnah. So Avonim is Mishnah. And Masi Avonim Yotzev Bahem, at the end of the day, it's going to bring you Atzvos. And that's the call you may on Iran, says Rava, Elu Balei Mishnah. Bekei Eitzim Yisachimem, Elu Balei Talmud. As opposed to Bekei Eitzim Yisachimem, that's Balei Talmud. So this is Rava Lishitasa, who holds the call you may on Iran is the Baal Mishnah. And the Vetov Lev Mishnah Talmud is the Gemara. So in this Pasuk in Koheles, the Masi Avonim is the one that learns Mishnah. And the Bekeya Eitzim is the one that learns Gemara. We once mentioned Ba'arichos, not for now, but just the Marumokim. And that is the Hilgich Sam Sofer in an art. He says that the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayechi, Vateisha Be'isan Kashtoi, Vayofoizu Zroya Yodov, Midei Aver Yaakov, Misham Roya, Evin Yisrael. So the Chassam Sofer said that Aver Yaakov is Oisis Rabbi Akiva. Aver Yaakov is Oisis Rabbi Akiva. Look it up. Misham Roya Evin Yisrael is Rosh Tevis Meir. And the Chassam Sofer said that these words, again, Ayin Sham is a remez to the fact that Stam Mishnah is Rameyer Alibe de Rabbi Akiva. So we know Stam Mishnah is Rameyer. We also know Rabbi Akiva Stimta, that Stam Mishnah is Rameyer Alibe de his Rebbe Rabbi Akiva. Rameyer had several Rabbeim. But Stam Mishnah is Rameyer Alibe de Rabbi Akiva. So the Chasam Sofer said that Aver Yaakov, Misham Roya Evan Yisrael, is a remez to this Inyan. Aver Yaakov is Rabbi Akiva, and Misham Roya Evan Yisrael is Oisius Meir. And said the Chasam Sofer that remez Yesh Leharemes Misham Roya Even Yisrael. He says, "I am Bava Basra Kuf Memhei on the days where it's Mavur Masia Avonim." Rameshharshi is said in the name of Rava Elu Bali Mishnah. So Misham Roya Even. Even is what? What's the Even? The Mishnah is the Even. The Gemara is the wood. The Mishnah is the stone. And here it's Merum is this Indian of Stam Mishnah. Rameir Alibet Rabbi Akiva. This is Dvarim Neflam. Not for now. Either way, Snok the Gemara Vaiter. So again. Kol Yemei Ani Ra'im. The first pshat was Rav, Zeh Bal Talmud. The Tevil Mishnah, Thomas Zeh Bal Mishnah. Rav said just the opposite. Third pshat, says the Gemara, Rav Chinina, Kol Yemei Ani Ra'im, Zeh Sheyesh El Isha Ra. It's referring to someone that has literally a bad wife. The Tevil Mishnah, Thomas Zeh Sheyesh El Isha Daiva. Someone that has a good wife. Self-explanatory. Rav Yanei, Amir Rav Yanei says, Kol Yemei Ani Ra'im, Zeh Istinus. Kol Yemei Ani Ra'im is someone that's an Istinus. Someone that's a mafunik, he's squeamish. Everything makes him nauseous, right? So if you're that type of person, so Kol Yemei Ani Ra'im. Someone that nothing makes him uncomfortable. So this person, he's always okay, right? He's never getting all nervous, and as a result, he's a toivle mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan, a fifth pshat. Koyim oni rom ze rachmon. That's someone that's a rachmon. The toivle mishnah tamid ze achzori. So it's counterintuitive, but it also makes a lot of sense. If you look at the last Rashbam on the Yomid, a rachmon is koyim oni rom, and the reason is because kama in yonim huroya. He sees a lot of things. Vekama murois, and he sees a lot of events unfolding. Sheli by boichet hader aleh. And it hurts him. Someone has a very open heart, and if someone has a very sensitive heart, say, here's a story, he sees something, it really, really hurts. So tut them vei. If someone's an achzer, you can hear stories all day long. It's not going to make a tremendous roshim. So said, Rabbi Yochanan, kol yemein oni roim, this is the rachman. He's someone that is always going to be bitzar because lie the lie, you're always hearing unfortunate stories. And the toiv leif mishta tam, and yeah, it's always a party. Whatever, he heard bad news, he forgot about it 5 minutes later. That's this oimik, said Rabbi Yochanan, that Shlomo HaMelech was trying to say. Another pshat, Rabbi Shulman Levi Yomar, koi me oni rom, zesha daitoi k'tzara. That's referring to someone that's daitoi k'tzara, so literally it means he has a very short amount of das, but what it means is he's a stingy person. If you're a stingy person, or you have an ayin ra, so you're always looking at people, and you have jealousy, and you have kamtsonus, so koi me oni rom, but toiv le misha tomas zesha daitoi rechava, breit a mensch. Someone that's breit, he fagins other people, he shares with other people. That's a school of a happiness. That's the Toivlev Mishnah Tomit. Zakti Gemara. One more memory on this note. I'm Rabbi Shulman Levi. Call you me on Iran. How can you tell me call you me on Iran? What about Shabbos and Yontif? So what's the kasha? What's the kasha? What about Shabbos and Yontif? Because again, we're going with the Poshup shot. The Poshup shot is that an Oni is an Orama. He's an Oni B'momin. And if that's the case, on Shabbos and Yontif, even the Oraman is soy rebebesoy. And the Rashbam says that the reason is because there were always tzedakis and different institutions that were put in place to help be mefarnes aniyim. So a person could be an arim man, of a mishabbos or shabbos, he's going to have food because Klal Yisrael, Rachmona b'nei Rachmon, they're going to make sure that everybody has food. So if that's the case, make the Gemara, how could you say kol yemei on Yiroim as if they say every single day, the 354 days of the lunar year and the 365 days of the solar year? What about Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Gemara says Kiddush Shmuel. You know what the answer is? Something Shmuel said. Dama Shmuel. Shmuel said, Shinui Veses, Tchilas Choyli. So this is Shmuel, the doctor, talking. Kiyodua. And Shmuel said that Shinui Veses, that if somebody changes up his routine, that it can cause him different stomach issues. Shinui veses, tchilas choyli. Right here the Gemara says tchilas choyli. In other places the Gemara says tchilas choyli ma'ayim. But the point is that shinui veses, tchilas choyli. So the Aramad, although he has what to eat on Shabbos, but it comes with an invoice because he doesn't eat the whole week. So when he finally eats on Shabbos and he finally eats on Yontif, now all of a sudden it doesn't work so well with his digestive system, and that's why kol yemei ani ram. Zok tigmar, ksiv b'sefer ben sira. It says in Sefer ben sira, kol yemei ani ram. So again, Where does it say Kol Yimei Ani Raim? It says it in Mishlei, Tezvav, Tezvav. But in Ben Sira, it says that with regards to what Shlomo HaMelech said, which was Kol Yimei Ani Raim, Ben Sira Imer, Ben Sira said, I'm going to add to what Shlomo HaMelech said, and that is Afleilois. Not only Kol Yimei Ani Raim, as if the days are not the nights, but the nights are also bad. In fact, I'll explain to you why. It's because Bishval Gagin Gagoy. Because you want to know where the Araman lives. So he lives under a roof, but at the same time, his roof is lower than everybody else's roof. Therefore, Mimtar Gagim Lagagoy. When the rain comes down from everybody's roofs and it slides down, it ends up landing on his roof. So the Gvir, his house, was always going to be a little bit higher than the Araman's house, practically speaking, back in the day. Because he wants to be protected. When the drainage comes, it shouldn't all land in his basement, right? So says Ben Sira that the Araman, it's even his gag, the roof that he has on top of his head, it's not on the same level as the roof of the person that's not a Araman. Berum Horim Karmai, not just that, his Kerem is on the highest place, and therefore the offer kamer the kramim. All the offer of his kerem ends up going to other people's kramim. So his roof is at the lowest point, and his kerem is at the highest point, which is the exact opposite of the way you would want it. The bottom line is, said Ben Sira, it's not just Kol Yimei Ani Raim. It's not just his days that are bad, but even his nights, even when he's in bed and he's sleeping, meaning his days, he doesn't have the same job, he doesn't eat the same food. But I feel even a shloft, even then, and the reason is because of this inyan, Bishval Gagim, Gagoy, Mimtar Gagim, Legagai, Barum, Harim, Karmem, Yofar, Karmem, Lekram. So this is Ben Sira, who is building on what Shlomo HaMelech said. In other words, Shlomo HaMelech said, Kol Yimei Ani Raim. That's the ksiv. Where does it say it in Mishlei? So Ben Sira, I'm going to be Moisef. It's not just the Yomim, but it's the Leilois as well. Now, who Ben Sira is, that's obviously not for now. The son of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Nesavar Bambati, Vadvar Matikin, Ve'en Kan, HaMokoyim, Laharich, Klal. But it's just interesting that Ben Sira sounds like he's being moisif on what Shlomo HaMelech said. Shlomo HaMelech said, Kol Yimei Ani Raim. So Ben Sira, Shlomo HaMelech, you're saying good, I'm going to say better. It's not just Yomim, Kol Yimei, but it's the Leilos as well. The emes is that we all know from the Haggadah Shel Pesach, L'man Tiskar is Yom Tzeischa Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha. And there was a machloikis, Hachadarsha Ben Zoyma, how exactly to teach the word Kol Yimei Chayecha. Is it Lahavi Halelois, or is it Lahavi Yemois HaMashiach? But the point is, Shlomo HaMelech didn't say Yimei Ani Raim. He said Kol Yimei Ani Raim. It could be Shlomo HaMelech himself held that it's not just the Yomim, but it's the Leilois as well. Where did he hint to that? Because he said, call, and call, according to one mandama, anyways, is L'Rabbi Saleilois. Either way, this concludes the Agadata portion of today's daf. We now return to our regular program, which is a daf gemara of Masechtas Bava Basra. And the Mishnah now is going to pivot. It's going to shift discussion. And we're going to talk about a topic, a custom that was prevalent very much in the times of Chazal, not in the same way today, and that is the custom of the Sivloinos. So, if yesterday's daf, we talked about the Shushbinos, today we're going to talk about the Sivloinos. So, what's the Sivloinos, now that we know what the Shushbinos is, so we can compare and contrast, what exactly is the Sivloinos? Sivloinos is very similar. Sivloinos means gifts. That's what it means. Not friends, but gifts. These gifts were given from the chassan to the kala, specifically, as it relates to the sifloinus that we're going to talk about right now, these gifts were given at the time of the kedushin, before the nesuah. So once upon a time, the Jewish marriage was made up of two parts, with two ceremonies. There was the kedushin, also known as erisin, and then there was the nesuin. How much time in between? So that's the Mishnah in Perek Afalpi. We mentioned the Mishnah yesterday. For a besula, there was 12 months, and for the almana, there was shloishim yom. Today, we do everything under the chuppah in one shot. But the point is, once upon a time, these were two independent events that happened at two independent times. There was kedushin with Berchas erisin, with the Masada kedushin, with the Eidei kedushin, and then a year later, everyone got together again, and this time they did the Nisuin, which was done Ayidei Chuppah. But the point is, The point is that Kiddushin first, Nesuin second. So the minig was that the Chassin would arrive by the Kala to come do this ceremony, this Kiddushin, and he would bring gifts. Okay, now, not only would he bring gifts, but as we'll see, the gifts were made up of a Suda, referred to as a Suda's Chassan, and it was also made up of gold, silver, wool, meaning there were perishables and non-perishables. Nafkiminas and halacha between the two. Not just that, sometimes there would be a big Suda. The Suda, in the words of the Rashbam, was lemachras hakedushin. So if we're meant to take the word lemachras literally, then it would mean literally the next day. Maybe it means afterwards, but the point is, sounds like it was lemachras. It was the next day. The chassan would sometimes partake in the Suda, or sometimes he would say, I have to go, and you know, I'll see you in a year, I'm going to come back for the nesu. So there was Mekomis Yeshin, there were different Menhagen, exactly how it would play itself out. Either way, we're going to have now a whole Amid and change of Gemara that's going to deal with halachos related to, again, a custom that we don't have, certainly in this form, Chasanim giving gifts to Kalas, we have. But today, Kedushin and Nesuin all happen with Vasachas, and this very unique and nuanced form of gifts known as the Sifloinis, and with the Menhagen that accompanied it, that's something that we certainly don't have. Regardless, if somebody sends these sevloinis, these gifts, to his shver's house, in other words, to his kala, let's say this person went and he sent 100 mana, so this was a very, very valuable gift. And then the next day, they got together and they had this big breakfast and they had a suda and he partook in the suda. Afilu bedina. Even if the amount that he ate from the suda was a dinar's worth, ein nigvin, the halacha is, he can't be goyva. What does it mean he can't be goyva? In the event, says the Rashbam, that the marriage is terminated. And now he says, oh, the marriage is terminated, I want all my gifts back. So here's the halacha. You can get your gifts back. But if you sit down and you partake in the suda, even if it's a dinar's worth, and the gifts that you gave were 100 mana, so that's obviously a lot more, afilu hachi, the halach is you're not going to be able to get anything back. Let's say you didn't eat the sudas chasan. Then if the marriage is terminated, now what does it mean marriage is terminated? We'll see in Amud Beis. But then if the marriage is terminated, the halach is a reilu nigvin. If you want to get it back, you can get it back. So the Mishnah talks about the savloinus, and the first thing it tells us about the savloinus is that what happens if somebody sent savloinus, he sent very nice gifts, and then all of a sudden there's no chasana. The marriage was terminated between the erisin and between the nesuin. This is a little similar to part of yesterday's daf. We were talking about what happens to the kesef kedushin, right? So here we're dealing with the sevloinis. What's going to happen with these gifts? So the Mishnah says it depends. If you ate, you the chasin, part of the sudas chasan, then you forfeit it. Even if the gifts was 100 mon and you only ate a dinar's worth, it doesn't matter. Now you wait. You're out. If, however, you didn't eat, so then the halach is harei elu nidvin. Then if you want to take it back, you're going to be able to take it back. Now, two things that's worth mentioning right now. It's going to play itself out, even in the seif of the Mishnah, but the Rashbam speaks to that right away. I think it's Kedai to speak to it right away as well. And that is, number one, this is only negeya perishables. Non-perishables, this is not negeya. So, for example, if you brought wine and oil and things that are perishable at some point, so then the halach is, hey, you didn't eat, that's going to determine what you can take it back, you can't take it back. But let's say you brought jewelry, things that are not perishable, so then the halach is, if the marriage is terminated, you're for sure going to have a schus to be able to get it back. The second thing the Rashbam says is that this is only true if you didn't explain yourself. So you just sent gifts. But let's say you're clear and you say, listen, I'm sending a gift and I'm letting you know right now, I'm only giving this to you in the event that this works out. But if for whatever reason we don't make it to the nesuin, then I want it back. Then of course you're going to get it back. So number one, the halacha of the Mishnah is negeya only perishables. Number two, it's only negeya where it was stam. And that really segues into the seif of the Mishnah. Shalach sevloinos merubin. Let's say this person sent many, many gifts. Sheyachzru imel beis bailam. And he said as follows. He said that when you get married, I want you to bring the gift. I just sent you so many gifts. So you're going to have shadayim, right? So when we get married, I want you to bring what is ever left over with you. Then the halacha is harei elu nigvin. Then if the marriage is terminated, you're always going to be able to collect. And the reason is because once you said shiachzru imel beis vaylo, it's as if you attached a string. As if you said, I'm giving it to you, but I want you to know, you can't just do whatever you want. Meaning I want you to take whatever's left over and bring it back. Now you only said if it's left over. But the minute you start talking in that way, so you're already showing that you're a little insecure with this gift that you're giving, and you may want it back, and it's for that reason that halacha is that at that point, let's say you send not a lot of gifts, and you said, and you said, I want you to use it, just use it in your father's house. You added that language. At that point, you never have the schus to be able to collect it back. Because when you say, I want you to be mishtamish b'vesavia, it's as if you waived your right to ever be able to collect it, and it's for that reason you won't be able to get it. And again, you see from here the second point that the Rashbam mentioned, and that is that we're only dealing where it's stam, where you didn't say anything. Meaning if it's mefurish, if it's rochel pitcha ktana, pun intended, if it's rochel pitcha ktana, you're saying clearly this is the way it should be, then of course that's the way it's going to be. The safe of the Mishnah says, what if it wasn't mamish clear, but at the same time you used language that gives us a little bit of insight into maybe what you're thinking, this is the way it's going to play itself. Zok tigmar, omar rava, rava snitafka dinar. So again, the first halacha of the Mishnah was that somebody sent sivlin, it's obeis chamav. He sent gifts that were worth a lot of money, 100 mana, and he ate the suda. Even if he only ate a dinar's worth, so the halacha is, you lose the rights to ever be able to get it back. So Rava said, dafka dinar. This is only true if you ate a dinar. Ava pachas mi dinar not. But if you would eat less than a dinar, then already not. Now it's interesting, the Rashbam actually says, that why a dinar? Like, where's this number even coming from? Rava even said, dafka dinar. Ava pachas mi dinar loy. So the Rashbam shtalsu a gemara that we saw in yesterday's daf, when the gemara was talking about, not the savloinus, but the shishbinus. And the gemara said that the average person eats a zuz. Right? That's why if the gift that you were going to give was a zuz and you ended up not going to the wedding because your friend never invited you, but you had the schiv, so now you don't have to give him the gift because you would have eaten a zuz worth anyways. So a person eats a zuz. So Rashbam says that the dinar of our mishnah is the same as the zuz of yesterday's daf. That was the typical amount that a person used to eat. A person would always eat at least a zuz. So Rava said the word dinar is dafka, but if you eat less than a dinar, if you don't appreciate the dinar time, it says dinar. By the time I would have thought who had dafka the box of dinar, that the word dinar is laf dafka. The reason it says dinar or maybe it's just because, like we just said, people usually ate a dinar. Kamash malan, that's the chiddush. No, it actually has to be a dinar. Says the Gemara. Ochal tanan. The Mishnah says that in the event that the chassan eats from the suda, that's it. You can't collect the sivloinus back. Shasamai. What if he didn't eat? What if he only drank? He had a glass of wine. Had a coffee. So he didn't eat, but he drank. Another shiloh. Hu tanan. Shluchay mai. The Mishnah said that if the chassan ate, then, a nigvin. What if the chassan didn't eat, but his shliach ate? Meaning, he sent a shliach to do the kiddushin. Could you be mekadosh in isha al yedei shliach? It's the name of a perek. Ish mekadosh bayo b'shluchay. Of course you could, right? Now, also, mekadosh isha achi yirena, b'seder, but you could be mekadosh in isha al yedei shliach. The whole sugya of shlichus is in the parsha of kiddushin. That is where it is, in the Tayyush of Al-Peh, primarily. But regardless, says the Gemara, what would be if he sent the shliach to be mekadosh in isha, and the shliach ate? Does that count as if he ate? Do you say shluchat shalavim kamoyse for that? Or not? Another shiloh. Shamtanah. The Mishnah says that the chassan ate b'veis chamav. He was by the shver, and that's what he ate. Shogah loy mai. What would be if he took the food to go? Or he sent all these gifts, and then the shver sent him a suda, and in his own house, the comfort of his own home, that's where he ate. Would the halacha be the same there or not? So in other words, three shilohs the Gemara wants to know. Number one, acha, what about shasa? Number two, what if it was a shliach today? And number three, what if he didn't eat the food of Veis Chamas, he ate his own? So the Gemara says, Shema, bring you a raya from a maisa. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, maisas. So where we say Rabbi Yehuda brings maises, but that's Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. This is Rabbi Yehuda that Meir. Either way, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shul Maisa. There was a story about the Mechad Shagal of Beis Chamav. Meir Kreinish and Kadi Yamish and Kadi Shemish and Kadi Gesavish and Kadi Zavish and Kadi Meilas. So this person sent to his Shver 100 wagons of what? Barrels of wine, barrels of oil. He sent him silver, he sent him gold. He says is quite the kala package. But he sent everything. He mamish sent a ruchush gavel. This is what showed up. V'rocha b'simchasay. Obviously, it was very b'simcha. V'halach, and he went for amad al pesach beis chamav. And he was standing by the entranceway of his shver's house. V'yitziu koish al chamav. And they went out and they said, can we offer you something to drink? He said, sure. And they brought him a koish al chamav. Some say it was hot wine. But either way, they brought him a koish al chamav. V'shasay, he drank it. Umeis. And this guy dropped dead on the spot. Now there was a shiloh. What do you do with all these gifts? V'zu halacha held Rab Achasar Abilu Fnei Chacham. So Rab Achasar Abilu presented this shiloh to the Chachamim, L'Ushna, and they went all the way to Usha, right? That's where the Sanhedrin was at that time. V'amru, and they said as follows, Sivloinois ha'asuyin livalois enigmin. The sivloinois that are asuyin livalois, the perishable gift, enigmin, you can't take it back. Because you gave it the perishable, you partook in the suda, right? You had your kois chamin, you had your room temperature glass of wine, so it's too late. In asuyin libolis. However, if it's in asuyin libolis, nigvin, that already let it go. Like the Rashbam spoke at, right? Knowing this Gemara, which is that the only time you can't collect it is if it's asuyin libolis. If it's in asuyin libolis, not perishable, that you're gonna get. So the Gemara says like this: Shmamino, you see from here, afilu shasa. First thing you see out of the gate is that afilu shasa. Because this person didn't eat, he drank. That was the first of the three shilas. We want to know, what if he drank? Are you seeing the furish? I feel the shasa. The Gemara says, Shamet mina, I feel the pachas midinar. Should you see from here, even pachas midinar? Why? Because the assumption is that whatever this chamin was, it was probably worth less than a dinar. Rav Ashi says, no. Like, how do you know that what he drank was worth less than a dinar? Man le malon, how do you not know? Now, if you would have asked me, I would have said, I don't know, sometimes you have a shot of something that's worth more than a dinar, right? But that's actually not what Rav Ashi said. Rav Ashi says, how do you not know that maybe what happened was somebody took a marganisa, as in a pearl, and he crushed it into the drink, and that's what the person drank? Meaning, maybe he was drinking diamonds. How do you know not? So it sounds like an expression, right? But if you look at the Rashbam says, "Man leimel on dolei shchikile marganisa because acham shekein derech hasarim shoysu noisel lerevua." There was actually such a custom; people would eat these marganisa tavas, and gives maybe new meaning to peh mapik margolis. But the bottom line is, people would actually eat it, and because people would actually eat it, maybe that's what happened. And apparently, this was lerevua. Not sure what the machla that this heals is, but the bottom line is that people would eat this lirafu, and this was something that was customary. So the Gemara says, how do you know that that's not what was going on over here? Okay, so the Gemara says, you have no raya to that. But the Gemara says, shami yunah afilu shigrulai. Okay, can we prove that even if it's shigrulai, why? Because he didn't eat at beveis chamav, where was he? He was at the doorstep. Right? He didn't even make it into the house. The gifts made it, but he didn't make it. So the question is, do you see from here that? The Gemara says, no. Dilma kol pesach beis chamav, beveis chamav dani. Maybe, being that he was at the Pesach Beis Chamav, it's different than taking it to go. You were in there. You were somewhat in this estate. You were in the plantation somewhere. So could be this already going to be different. Iboilu, another Shiloh. Ma'usha Yishalish. So Rava said that the only time the halach is that you lose your schus to be goyv is if you eat a dinar. Less than a dinar, nah. Says the Gemara, what would be if a person ate a half a dinar? Right? Just to use a round number. So he doesn't forfeit the gifts. Does he forfeit half the gifts? Meaning, does it prorate? So a dinar, you lose everything. So maybe a third of a dinar, you lose a third, etc., etc. Right? Is that the way this works? Another shaila. Shvach savloinus ma'u. What happens if you're getting the savloinus back now, for whatever reason, and the savloinus appreciated in value? Do you get the appreciation, or does the kala, the shver, get the appreciation? Now, the Gemara explains the tzadim of that shaila. Do we say, kiven di isnu l'didei hadri b'shusei shalech? Do we say that, being that if the gifts were there, right? Nothing happened to them, and now they have to be returned, they would be returned. So it comes out that who owns the gift, really? The chassan owns the gift. The chassan owns the gift. If it appreciates, it goes up. I mean, if you have to return this to me, that means it's mine. So if it's mine, then if it appreciates, I should get it. Or do we say that although it's true, if it's be'en, it would be returned, but let's say it's not be'en. So now, Beis Chamu would have a regular chiyuv, like a chiyuv mamin, to go ahead, take from their own pocket and return it, which would a little bit suggest that maybe they actually acquired it. If they acquired it, so then maybe you don't have to return it. And the Gemara says, teiku. In other words, it's not clear when the savloinus are given. This is a lamda shashayla. Who owns the savloinus right now? Do we see the chosin as owning the savloinus, or do we see the kala and her family as the ones that are owning the savloinus? Vayirav, another shayla. Savloinus ha'asuyin libalois v'loi baluma. What would be if the chosin sent gifts, and then the marriage was terminated between the erisin and the nesuin, and now gifts are coming back? But the gifts that are coming back are only the gifts that are asuyin libalois, right? Gifts are also staying. Which gifts are... Okay, the gifts... The person sent gifts, and the marriage was terminated. As a result, there are certain gifts now that he is going to forfeit. Which gifts is he going to forfeit? Only gifts that are perishable gifts. Now, even then, not always, right? If he ate us... Partook in the Suda, or if he used language like we saw in the Sefer the Mishnah. But the bottom line is that the only gifts that this person will ever lose are the gifts that are asuyin libalis. The question is, what would be if the gifts were asuyin libalis? Nothing happened to them yet. So they're asuyin libalis. At some point, they're going to deplete, but it hasn't happened yet. So the question is, do we treat them as savloinus asuyin libalis? you don't get it back, or do we view them as Sivloinish Einasuyin Libalois, and therefore you do get it back? So again, we're talking about when you're not getting the gifts back, but you're only not getting the Sivloinois or Asuyin Libalois. The ones that are not Asuyin Libalois, you're always going to get back. That was the first of the two comments that the Rashbam made in the Mishnah. So what if it was Sivloinois and Asuyin Libalois, Abulamai Sivloi Balu? How do you treat it? Mar says, Toshma, I think you can bring a raya from the Maisa Shoya Kachay that we mentioned earlier, because we said, this is what Loch Hello, Rabbachas, Rabbil of Nechacham and Bousha. The Umran, what did they say? Sivloinus asuyin libolis a nigvin. Vishain asuyin libolis nigvin. It sounds like what the Chacham told Rabbachas Arabira, Sivloinus asuyin libolis one way, and Shein asuyin libolis the other way. And doesn't it sound like that? Avag after libolu. The only thing we care about is are they asuyin libolis, are they not asuyin libolis? Doesn't sound like we care whether they were bolu, they were. But the Mara says, loy the bolu. Maybe Sivloinus asuyin libolis, she bolu. But if they were loy bolu, maybe we view them as Sivloinus Shein asuyin libolis. It's a little bit more mashma like the first way, but at the end of the day, it's not muchak. Toshma, I'll bring you another right. From the safe of the mission, Sivloinus muatin. If somebody sent a little bit of gifts and he said, she teshtamish behem veisavi, I want to use it when you're in your father's. So then the halach is a nigvin. You're never allowed to get it back. Because being that you added that language of the hebeveis havia, use it in your father's house, it's as if you said mefurish that you're not going to be able to collect it. And it's for that reason the halach is that you are not going to be able to get it. Okay, so what do you see from here? What you see from here is that you're not going to be able to get it, l'chayra, even if it's ben, zoysoy meres, that if it's asuyin libolois, v'loy balu, the halacha is you end up losing it. Meaning, even in the seif of the Mishnah, a nigvin is only with regards to if it's asuyin libolois. But if it's not asuyin libolois, so then, of course, you're going to be able to get it even when you use that extra language. Right? The extra language of the seifa of the Mishnah that dictates the halacha is also only true with regards to asuyin libolois. Not if it's not asuyin libolois. And from the stam of the Mishnah, sivloinois muatin, talking about where it's asuyin libolois, the halacha is a nigvin. And it sounds like a nigvin, even if it's ben. So you say meres, even if it wasn't balu yet, we still view it as being asuyin libolois. So you see from the seif of the Mishnah, l'chayra, that even if it's not balu yet, but if it's asuyin libolis, that's enough for you to be able to lose it. But the Gemara says you have no raya from here. And the reason is tirgam arava b'yevo v'sifchasa. So yevo v'sifchasa, Rashbam says, is minei tzi'ifim v'kishuri anashim, like different scarves and hats that the women used to wear. But the point is that it was something very, very small. In fact, that's the lashon of the Mishnah, right? You sent sivloy me'smuatim. That's the hint to what the Gemara is saying. These were very cheap type of gifts. Being that they were cheap types of gifts, it could be over here, the sivloinois, ha'asuyin livolois, that aloi balu, over here the halach is going to be a nigvin. But enechinami, ordinarily, maybe we would view it differently. So when you're dealing with these cheaper gifts, that's when we view it in that way. Zoktimar, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Ma'isav adam echad zoi with a person. Sheshigal beis chamav, he sent to Ishver yayin chadash, v'shemen chadash, new wine, new oil, v'kli pishtan chadash, and these new begodim that were made of pishtan, ba'atzeres, and he sent it to him on Shavuos. Okay. This is the Braisa. This is the Ma'isa. The Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav sent. It was a story with a person. He sent his kala, which was the beis chamav. He sent new wine, he sent new oil, and clay pishtan, and he sent it on Shavuos. The Gemara says, Ma'ika Mashal, it's a very nice story. But what exactly is the significance of the story? Why are we even mentioning this? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you two possibilities of why Rabbi Yehuda might have said this. Either he was coming to say the chashivos of Eretz Yisrael, because for at Shavuos time, for you to have all the crops ready, where you have already Yain Chadosh, and Shemen Chadosh, and Klipishtan Chadosh, that's very rare. Ordinarily, just based on the agricultural system, we're not farmers, this is an anomaly. And that was the point of this story. Could be the purpose of this was the Itoin Tanose Taina. Because what would be if you're going to end up with a big din Taira, and a fight's going to break out? Somebody sent Sivloinis, and now the marriage broke, and now you have to give the gifts back, And he's going to say, you know what I gave? I gave you Yain Chodosh, Shemen Chodosh, Kli Pishon. When did you deliver? I delivered it for Shavuos. Everyone's going to say, it's impossible. Rav Yudah Marav said over this Maisa, so you should know it is possible. So either it was just a Sif Katan and Chashivus at Eretz Yisrael, or it actually has a Nafkamina in this, right? Either a Chaps and Nafkamina in the Gemara's in the end of Ksubis, or a Chaps and Nafkamina in these Gemara's right here. In Hilchis of Loinus, that you want to know if somebody would Taina something like this, he would have a Koyach HaTaina. The answer is, he would have a Koyach HaTaina. So we just saw over a Maisa, Rav Yudah Marav said, regarding someone and his kala, Mara is going to tell another story. Amar Rav Yudah Marav, Maisa ba'adam echad, a story with a person, sha'amru loy, ishtoy, toisranasi. So this person had erisin, and then after the erisin, they told him that his wife is a toisranas. So what does it mean that she's a toisranas? She has no chush hareach. She can't smell. Choyli hu, she'enu yuchaylo lo hareach. Mum Shabbaseisu, Rashbam gets involved in what type of mum it is. He quotes Perek Amad. So this is a mum, somebody can't smell. Now, it's not a mum that makes the marriage a mekachtois, but something he wanted to give a get, if it was true, but he didn't know if it was true. So he said he's going to test her. So what did he do? V'nichnas acharel churva levoitga. So he said, let's walk into a certain churva. So they go into a churva together. Now, it's not so posh you can walk into a churva. Brachas daf gimel amir alef. But the bottom line is, he went in with his kala, right, they're married, the Kedushin, into the Churva, and the purpose is he's going to test it. Amalei, he says, Reach Tznoin Ani Mariach BeGalil. So Hashemayim has two pshat, and I had to learn this whole night, so we'll go with the first pshat. Apparently they were next to the Galil, and he says, you know, I smell the smell of radishes from the Galil. This was apparently some distinct smell. Now, he wants to see what the reaction is going to be. I do smell it, I don't smell it, I know what you're talking about, right? So Amalei, he said, Man Yavla Mikoy Savoiz Di'erichoy V'Achaltabe. He said, I wish that somebody would give me a date from Yerichai, which is very sweet, and I would eat it together with the Tznoin of Galil. So it seems like this was some Gishmaka dish. Now, what was her response? She does smell, she doesn't smell. So it's not clear. The Rashbam says, Derech Schaik. It wasn't even clear what her response was. But the punchline of the story is, unfortunately, the next line. Anyways, they're in the Churva, they're having this interesting conversation. Nofala Churva Mesa. And then all of a sudden, the Churva fell down, and she died. Amru Chachamim. The Chachamim said, Hoybalei Nichna Sacharea El Leboitka. Being that the reason he went into this Churva was to be Boitikar, Mesa in a Yarshin. Now that she died, he doesn't Yarshin her. And again, going with the way the Rashbam learns this story in his first pshat, the shaila now was, does he get to yarshin her? That was the shaila. Now, the halacha is that a man yarshins his nesua, but he doesn't yarshin his arusa. So the question was, in this story, does he get to yarshin her, or does he not get to yarshin her? What would be the tzad not? All they had was erisin. What would be the tzad yet? Maybe going into the churva, that in and of itself would blive nesuin. And if that in and of itself would blive nesuin, so maybe that would be a basis for him to be able to yarshin her. But the chachamim said that, be that the reason that he went after was only to be baidiker. It's for that reason, Mesa, now that she died in a yarsha, he does not have a schos to be able to yarshin her. One last gemara, sevloinois muatin, shetishtamish bahem bevesa, via bechuliyasa. Ravin Saba came to Rapapa. So Ravin Saba, Ravin the elder, was sitting in the presence of Rapapa. Yosef come and he said as follows: Bein Shemeso he, who Bein Shemeso. It doesn't matter if she dies, or it doesn't matter if he dies. Hadar, who, or if he was Chayzer, Sevloinois Hadri. In all these cases, the Sevloinois go back. In other words, in the event that she died, in the event that he died, in the event that he gave her a get. Meaning, in between the Kedushin and the Nesuin, after the Sevloinus were already given, the marriage gets terminated to any one of those three possibilities. So the halacha is that the Sevloinus go back, of a Maichalu Mishto Loi Hadra. But the Maichalu Mishto, that doesn't go back. So the Maichalu Mishto, the perishables, don't go back. This was the psak that Rav and Saba told Rapapa as a postscript to everything that we just said. But the other gifts go back. Hadra Ba'i, what would be that? If she was the one that was chayzer, then hadra afilu kisha the yarka, even bundles of vegetables would have to go back. Amar Rafuna Breid Rav Yeshua, Rafuna Breid Rav Yeshua said, v'shamen lehend mei boser bezoil, that when we make her give back the food, the way we assess the value of the food is the mei boser bezoil. That's the way we assess it. We assess it as if it's the cheaper price for basar. Kama bezoil, what does that even mean? Atilsa, we reduce it a third. This is a shear that you find in different places in Shas. That if you want to give the cheaper shear for something, right, there's the retail value and then there's like the wholesale value. So if you want the wholesale value, the discounted value, you discount it by a third. So again, in the event that somebody died, or if he's the one that backed out, he gets the non-perishable sifloinus, but everything else he forfeits. In the event that She's the one that backed out. That's already a whole different story. Then she loses everything. She backs out, she loses everything. And afilu kisha de yarka, even the vegetables. But when she gives back the vegetables or gives back these perishables, you get to reduce the amount by a third. Now the Rashbam says that that last line is talking about when they're not here. They're physically not here. Because if they're physically here, if they're be'en, so then why are you discounting it? Just return it. But hocha b'mayaskinu, where they're not be'en. Being that they're not be'en, so you can't merely return it. Being that you can't merely return it, so this is where it's going to be nageya, then you're going to give it back. But when you give it back, you're going to give it back on a discounted basis. And this concludes the sugya of Savoinus. Yesterday we learned the sugya of the Shishbinus. Today we learned the sugya of the Savoinus. Tomorrow's daf is going to begin with a Mishnah that's going to discuss halachas related to Umdana, which is, of course, a very lumdish inyan, not a hard Gemara, but a lumdish inyan. And then the Gemara is going to pivot into another daf or so of I got it to Gemara. But just to end with one ha'ara, and that is a good chunk of today's daf was Divrei Agada, specifically different pshatim that the Amiram gave in a pasuk in Mishlei. Shlomo HaMelech said, Kol yemei ani ra'im v'toiv lev mishtetamin. And different Amiram said different pshatim who the ani is and who the toiv lev is. Right? You have the ani on one side of the ledger, and you have the toiv lev on the other side of the ledger. And their fates are very, very different. The fate of the ani is ro'im. Kol yemei ani ro'im. Ben Sira said even the leilos. And the toiv lev, he's someone that's mishtetamet. For him, it's always a party. So, different pshatim that the Amiram gave. Abe'en mikro yoytze midei pshutai. And if you look at the Mefarshe Mishle, they all say that the ani literally means the Ariman. And the toiv lev literally means the gvir. And the Araman, a honished essen, and as a result, kol yemei on Iran, as opposed to the gvir, he can throw a party every night. And it's for that reason, the toiv lev, mishta tamid. So the Araman in the pasuk is someone that literally is an ani. And the toiv lev in the pasuk is somebody that's an oisher. If you take a look at the Bir Hagra, the Vilna Gaon's Pirish, on Sefer Mishlei. So the Goyin says as follows. The Goyin says that, what does it mean? Toiv lev mishta tamid. It means someone that's not physically a gvir because he has a lot of money. But it means what the Mishnah means when it says, Ezeu asher hasamech b'chelkoi. And when we say that kol yemei ani ro'im, as much as it means an araman in gelt, but it doesn't mean necessarily somebody that doesn't have money. But what it means is somebody that's not the usher of the Mishnah of Ezeu asher hasamech b'chelkoi. In other words, the ani and the toiv lev in this pasuk in Mishlei is not how much money a person has, but it means, are you an usher that you're samech b'chelkoi, or are you not an usher that's misamech b'chelkoi? And just to read, l'shoinei hazov shel hagra, v'imkein, ha'ani hu, mi she'nafshei rechava. The ani is someone that is nafshei rechava, she'enoi mistabek b'chol ha'shaloi. He's someone that is not happy with all the things that he has. V'chol chalolei da'alma lo yaspikena b'daitai. And it doesn't matter what you give him, he's never going to be tzafriden. V'lochein kol yom avron, ki enoi be'efshori she'yasek kol chefza v'yemal ha'daitai. There's no person in the world, it's impossible for a person to satisfy all his taivas. It's not a possibility. So when the pasuk says, the Vilna Gaon says, kol yemei ani ro'im, you know what it means? It doesn't mean how much money you have. It means, are you an araman? But in the sense, are you a samech b'chelkoi? You're not a samech b'chelkoi. Because if you're not a samech b'chelkoi, kol chaloli da'almo lo yaspikenu b'daitoi. And not just that, it's efsher sheyase kol chefze v'yemali daitoy, and it's for that reason kol yomav is ron of a v'toyv lev mishta tamid misha mistapik b'mashe yeshloy liboy sameach tamid k'moy ha'ish asher mishta b'veisoy she liboy sameach be'eshu shtuye yayin. Listen to this lashon: a person that's in the middle of a party and he's drinking wine, he forgets about all his worries. He's very, very besimcha. Ad sha'oz afilu ha'melech enoy shavaloy. Even the king is not shavat him. Why? Well, I said, now get the plots yet. Because he's not thinking about even the melech. He's in this little stupor. He's in a gavaldiga place. Achla acher hafiga yenoy eibus einabusim chasle shayatchila. But it's only something that lasts for a certain amount of time, right? The next morning, it's called a hangover. But someone that's a toiv lev, someone that's an usher, that's a mech bechelka, he's mishta tamid. There's no hangover. He's always going to be besimcha. simcha. And the reason this person is always going to be besimcha is because this person is always going to be tzefriden. And if he's always tzefriden, nothing's going to ever bother him. Says the Goyen, when a person's sitting at a mishta, it doesn't matter what you have going on in life. At that moment, you're besimcha. Toiv leiv, a asher that's a merch b'chelkoi, is mishta tamen. He's always under the influence. And because he's always under the influence, nothing ever bothers him. And by the way, no hangover. Says the guy, and that's the oimik. You're right. Pshutai shamikra of this pasuk is the ani is an arum man. And the toiv leiv is the gvir. But not more money, less money. Are you an asher that's samech b'chelkoi? Are you not an asher that's samech b'chelkoi? Because if you're not a samech b'chelkoi, then it's impossible for you to be happy. And it's for that reason you're going to be a miserable person. Call you may ani rav. Yeah, maybe from the outside it looks like it's not like that. But in reality, if you're not samech b'chelkoi, you are not going to be happy. But the toiv leiv, someone that's an usher in the sense that he's a samech b'chelkoi, he's mishta tamen, and says the guy in the oimik of the mashal of mishta is that just like when a person is drinking, afilu hamelech enoy shavaloi. But someone that's an asher and samech b'chelkoi, he's not going to have this problem. So just to end with one knesh, I was thinking, and that is that the Gemara said, Rava said, Kol Yimei Ani Ram is referring to the Baal Mishta. V'toyvlei Mishta Talmud is the Baal Gemara. Rav said just the opposite. Kol Yimei Ani Ram, that's referring to the Baal Talmud, the person that learns Gemara. V'toyvlei Mishta Talmud, that's referring to the person that learns Mishnah. So just one Lashon from Reb Chaim V'Lashon in Ruach Chayim. And it's right in the beginning of Perek Vav. Shanu Chachamah B'Lashon HaMishnah. Baruch Shabacha Behemu B'Mishnasim. Rav Meir Oimer, Kol Oisik B'Toyr L'Shma, Zoicha L'Dvarim Harbe, V'Loi Oid, etc., etc., etc. So in that first paragraph, says Rav Chaim V'Lazhin, says as follows, L'fi She'ikar HaLimud, Loi Lasik Rak B'Dveikos. The Ikar of Limud HaTayr is not just to be Oisik in Veikos. Ki Im Lahasik Al Yidei HaTayr V'HaMitzvahs V'Hadinim, V'Leida Kol Dover Al Puryoi, Klolov U'Protov, U'Lahasik Gam Kein Sisrei Pilei Maisa V'Cheker Kvoidoi. The tachlis and the ikar of learning Torah is not just to be davik by Kodesh Baruch, but it's to know the Torah, to know the mitzvahs, to know everything klar, to know the klolim and the pratim, to know nigla and to know nister. Ulezet sarich lumay biyegiya atzuma lahasig amitas kavonos haTorah lefi asagasai. And to do that, you need an incredible amount of yegiya to be able to be masig the emes of the Torah. V'cholash yosef lumay. And says Reb Chaim V'Lashon, the more a person's going to learn, kein yosef lachbeitz lumayroi, the more you're going to want to learn. And you're going to become the sugar from the Ahava of Torah you have. V'yachshav, and you're going to think, V'halavai sheyuchal loy lishoin. Halavai, I wouldn't be able to sleep. V'loy lechal, I didn't have to eat. Rak kol ayomim v'chol aleilois. Ligo la'ayin. But rather, I can spend all my days and all my nights to be miyagei and to be ma'ayin. V'lishtois betzom es dvoreh. U'kemay mirazal, m'shamoye b'yoshon, tishme b'chadosh. And he goes on and on and on, and he gives a mashal. U'kemoye shenema, ba'orcha nira. The more Torah you learn, the more you want to learn Torah. Because the more Torah you learn, the more you realize how much more there is. And you're going to want to acquire it. I'll just read the mashal quickly. Somebody was allowed to enter the inner chambers of the king. And it was filled with light and with diamonds, and he was blown away by what he saw. When he was there, he saw that there was another door that goes even more inside, and who knows what's going on over there. So he went in there. Every time he opened up a door, he saw there was more. And he realized, if that's the case, I can only imagine what's inside that door and what's inside that door. Now, had he not entered the first door, he went to chap that there's a 27th door. But as he went further and further, he started chap that there's more. Therefore, says Reb Chaim V'Lashon, When a person learns Torah, you're going to have a taiva. Lahavinu lahasigoy, to understand and to acquire more. Ad ki yasik kol sisrei o'olam umloya. Until you're going to be zoicha, you'll be able to achieve everything. Ki Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, asher amru Allah. See, here they say sukkah chavches. But I think we can shtel tzu perikei shnoichlin. Shlo hi niach, davar gadol, davar katon, l'kayim ha-shenem, l'hanchal oya ve'yesh. V'zel, this is what our mayor said when he said, kol oisik, someone that learns Torah l'shma, zoicha l'dvarim harbe. Dvarim harbe, because learning leads to more learning, that leads to more learning, and then eventually you're going to be zoicha to all this dvarim harbe. Kol yemei ani ra'im. Mishnah, Gemara. I think anyone that learns this Gemara, we went through it together with a straight face, but that's Kol Yemei Ani Ra'im. Oh, but the way the Goyen learned in Mishle, the Yisoid of Kol Yemei Ani Ra'im, it's because Ein Adam Meis V'Chatzi Tavasei B'Yadai. It's because at the end of the day, there's certain things that if you want it and you can't have it, so you're never going to be happy on that note, in that vein. Kol Yemei Ani Ra'im, because when a person learns Gemara, he always wants more. Ein Adam Meis V'Chatzi Tavasei. Listen to some of the Lashonis that Reb Chaim Volozhin used. He says that he's going to be Miyageya when he's going to want to not sleep, not eat. Rakol Hayomim V'Chol HaLeilois. That's Kol Yemei, like Ben Sira said, even the Leilois. And he's going to be Yisav HaTaifa. Ain't other maze for Chatzit Tavasei B'Yadai. Of course, the most glikach life that a person can live is if he's a Baal Talmud, if he's a Baal Mishnah. Ashrecha ba'ilum hazeh v'toiv lach ba'ilum haba. But at the same time, there's a certain aspect that if somebody is engaged in this spiritual pursuit and he locks in and he starts seeing the Ur, ba'orcha nira Ur, and he gets into the cheder apnimi, he sees another cheder, on some level, it's going to be kol yemei ani ra'im. Ani ra'im, this is the nimshel, this is all a drush. Just like the Araman, he's in the meis v'chatzi tavasei b'yadai. The Bali Talmud are the same way. But the Bali Talmud, it's in a ruchnius the goy. It's in a way where it's through ar. It's in a way where the process itself, on the one hand, yeah, in other meis v'chatzi tavasei b'yadai. And you have to be memes atzmei in order to acquire Torah. But at the same time, the process of limud Torah is a process of dveikos. Maybe just a little bit of an oimik and kol yemei ani ra'im, referring to people that learn Torah. I'll pee this Reb Chaim Volozhin in the beginning of Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph, in Pirkei Yavis, which is I'll pee the Goyen's Pirish, his basic understanding in the Pshutei Shal Mikra of Kol Yemei Ani Ra'im on that Pasuk in Mishnah.